Mubalik, for you it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, staring success, staring.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madini channel, once again we welcome you in the silsila blessings of Quran of Madini channel. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in today's silsila we will discuss the ayat number 14 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa idha laqul ladhina amanu qalu amanna wa idha khalaw ila shayatinihim qalu inna ma'akum innama nahnu mustahzi'un. Sadaqallahul azim. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And when they meet the believers, they say, we believe. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينَهِمْ. And when they are alone with their devils, قَالُوا إِنَّ مَعَكُمْ, they say, we are indeed with you. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ, we are mocking at them. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madini channel, in the previous ayat it was discussed that the hypocrites, they believe that we are very clever, very intelligent, very educated, and the Muslims are fools. And in this ayah karima, it is mentioned that what was their reason to believe that they are intelligent. So this was their reason, that because they come and tell the Muslims that we are with you, and they go and tell the disbelievers that we are with you, and try to be friend with both the groups and fraternities. So this they took it as to be an act of intelligence and being clever. The Shan-e-Nazul, the reason of revelation of this ayat is very interesting. That Abdullah bin Ubay, the chief or the leader or the head of hypocrites, he was standing with some of his colleagues. And coincidentally, some of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'een passed from there. Abdullah bin Ubay came running to Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He held his hand, he kissed his hand, and said, you are a very blessed personality. You are given the title of Siddiq. You are the chief of Bani Tamim, a famous tribe in Arabia. You are Shaykh al-Islam, that you are the first man to accept Islam. you are friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave and elsewhere. You have sacrificed your life, your wealth, everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, you are a great person. And then he came to Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he held his hand and he said, "You are a great person. Your title is Farooq. You are criterion between the falsehood and the truth. You have sacrificed your wealth, your life upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, you are a great man." So Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu came forward and he said, "O Abdullah, fear Allah and stop your hypocrisy. Don't you know that hypocrites are the worst people? They're the worst of every creation." Then Abdullah bin Ubay said to Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, "O Ali, why are you saying that? Since our iman is similar to your iman, or we believe in the same system, same creed as you believe." So he lied actually. And when Sahaba Ikram went away, he told them, "Did you see my trick? Did you see the way I befooled these companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And they all appreciated his endeavor, they all appreciated his effort for this tricking and deceiving. So then this ayah karima was revealed that when they meet the Muslims, they say, "We believe," and when they are alone with their devils, with their friends, with the disbelievers, then they say, "We are with you." Now we will do the word by word tafsir of the ayah kareema, then we will give the summary, and then we will take some madni pulse and flowers and lessons that we can take and learn from this ayah kareema, inshallah azza wa jalla. That would be the sequence of our discussion as normally we do. The word laqu, it means to meet, and also it means to come in front. And both the meanings are correct here. Because when hypocrites, they meet the Muslims, or when they come in front of the Muslims, then they have this discussion and conversation. Amanu, when they come in front of those who have believed. And who are those people who are mentioned here who have believed? Are the sincere Muslims, those who have accepted Islam from the bottom of their hearts. They are mentioned here in the word Amanu. Because the verbal Islam was shown from the hypocrites as well. Therefore, the verbal Islam is not meant here. It's the hearty Islam that the person accepts from his heart and he endorses it and he confirms it and he does the tasdeeq and the affirmation of that truth with the heart. That is the Muslim which is meant here. But these hypocrites, they had to play all these type of tricks because nobody trusted their tongue. They always had a twisted tongue. Every now and then they'll do something or they'll say something and they are caught up that they're not sincere. So their reality of iman was doubtful. So these people, they would every now and then come and take qasams, take vows, take oath to make people believe that they are sincere Muslims. But it is very difficult when something is not real. Even when people, like for example, you go into the marketplace, people sell forged atoms with wrong labels, and sometimes shopkeeper takes an oath. He might say, "No, this product is made from so and so country," but in reality it's not made from there. And then he takes qasam, he takes vow, he says, "By Allah, I'm telling you the truth." So this is always the way of people who are religiousless, people who are with corrupt beliefs, because they have something which is not genuine. They have something which is corrupt. They have something which is not pure. But they want to beautify the filth that they carry by taking oaths. But believe me, if you have a pure musk, you don't need to praise the musk, because the musk itself will tell everyone that it is original or not because of its perfume and because of its beautiful smell. And if a person is a true believer, then his faith would be shown from his words, from his actions, and there will be light on his face, in his words, in his actions, that everyone would understand and realize. And he doesn't need to take oath and swear on the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, or take vow in order to make other people believe. So this is always the situation. Even till today, you see that difference. And then the word khalaw, as we said, it means to be alone. So when they are alone with other hypocrites who are leading the movement of hypocrisy, or with other disbelievers or kuffar, and they are mentioned here as shayateen. Shayateen is plural of shaitan. And what is meant here by the word shayateen is the friends of hypocrites or the leaders of hypocrites. In Arabic, every person who is mischievous can be called shaitan. So now, because these were mischievous people, therefore they were called shayateen. And the Haq has said that the palm readers, or the star readers, astrologists who read people's future and fortune, or fortune tellers, they are meant here. Because in Arabia, there were certain people who were believed to be knowing the messages that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or have the knowledge of unseen. Actually, what used to happen, that shayateen used to come to them and tell them some informations, give them some informations about future, and they would tell people. And some of them would be true, some of them would not be true. So slowly but surely people started believing that they are very powerful people. Ka'b bin Ashraf and Abu Barda and Abdul Dar and Auf ibn Amir and a person from Syria, Abdullah bin Aswad, these were the people that Arabs believe that they have the knowledge of unseen, and they know the secrets of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and they can cure the sick people. So they have that power. This was their belief. So these hypocrites would go and meet these type of people and tell them the secrets of Muslims, and tell them that we are with you, we are serving you, we are working for you, and we are damaging your enemies, which are Muslims. And then they say, "Inna ma'akum," that we are with you, we are your companions. What is really meant here, that we are with you, it means that our aqaid and our creeds and our belief system is exactly the same way as is yours. Now, keep in mind that when hypocrites, they come in front of the Muslims, they just say the word amanna, that we believed. No emphasis, no taqeed, and they used Jumla fi'liya. The jumla fi'liya is a sentence that begins with a verb. And according to grammatic principles of Arabic language, when a sentence begins with a verb, it gives you a temporary meaning. So look at the style and the way when they talk to the Muslims. They use a sentence which begins with the verb, which does not have the meaning of permanent stand on something, and then there's no emphasis. Why they used to do that? They knew that Muslims are very naive, they're plain, they're simple, and they don't doubt what we say, they trust us. And this is what we are ordered, that you should believe person's apparent condition and situation. So therefore they had no need to use word inna or anna or other words of emphasis or taqeed. And they would get away. Muslims would believe them and they would take them in their gatherings and share informations with them, tell them their secrets, etc., etc. But the kuffar were clever in their understandings. They would not believe them easily. That's why they would take qasams. They would take oaths to make them believe. And they will use words in which there is emphasis. Like, inna ma'akum. Surely we are with you. And then the sentence is used which begins with noun. That's called jumla ismiya. It means that it gives the meaning that the situation is permanent. So that means these hypocrites are telling the kuffar that we are permanently with you. We were never with the Muslims. And if we are with them, we are temporarily, we don't accept their faith with our heart, but the kuffar would not still believe them. They would doubt them because they see them going to the masjid, reading namaz, partaking in jihad and all these type of different activities. So they would say, no, you're not with us. And then the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they would give the reason. And that reason has been mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama nahnu mustahzi'un. So this is the reason that they give to the kuffar, that trust us, believe us, we are with you. So when they say, why do you then go and sit in their gatherings? They say, we go and sit in their gatherings because we get informations, we get their secrets, and we come and pass it over to you. And we are empowering you and we are helping you. And they would then say that we are only mocking with them. We are not sincere with them. We be fooling them. So this is the word by word explanation of Ayah Karima. Now the summary is that when the hypocrites would meet the Muslims, in order to make them happy, they will say that we have accepted Islam. And when they meet their own friends and their own chiefs and their own leaders, they would then take qasams and take oaths and vows and tell them that we are with you and please trust us and believe us that we are with you. We are only playing with Muslims. We are only joking with them, mocking at them. And our reading of kalima is not based on sincerity, but on mocking and joking. And Muslims are fools because they believe us and they take us into their special gatherings, in their mashwaras, in their discussions, and we hear their plannings and what they are up to and what they want to do next, and we come and tell you, and we are empowering you, so we are with you. So don't doubt us, rather take us as your friends and appreciate our effort that we are doing for you. So this is the summary of the Ayah Karima. Now, dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, there are beautiful lessons that we can take from this ayah kareema. Number one is that if anyone reads kalima, means does the declaration of faith, because of joking or mocking, that is kufr. Why it is kufr? Because this is a serious business. When you talk about religion, when you talk about faith, when you talk about your declaration of faith, person must be serious and person must be sincere. If it is done on a joking way, then it is kufr, as it became kufr for the hypocrites, because they say we accept Islam with jokes and mocking at the Muslims. Number two, we learn from this ayah kareema that to mock at the prophets alayhimus salam or at any divine religion, at the deen, that is kufr, as the hypocrites used to do, and they are regarded as kafirs, non-believers. Number three, we learn that to mock at Sahaba Ikram or at religious leaders who are on the true path, on the path of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is kufr. It is mentioned in Khazainul Irfan that everything which has an attachment of deen, has deeni dignity, for example, Quran, Masjid, Ulama Ikram, Ramadan Sharif, the Mizara, the blessed graves of Awliya Allah, if anyone insults any of those things, that is kufr. And to respect these things is sign of iman and taqwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, the one who respects the sha'airullah, the one who shows respects towards the signs of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, his heart is muttaqi and he has taqwa and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart. Therefore, Muslims must be very careful when we talking about any of the symbols of the majesty of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. We must be respectful and we must be choosy with our words, and we must always use beautiful and respectful words. When we're talking about Quran or Masjid or Ulama Ikram, we must be polite and full of respect. And the fourth Madani flower which we pick up from this discussion is that we should not sit in the gathering of every person. This is the way of the munafiqs, that they would go and sit in the gathering of every person, whether they're on the right path or they're on the wrong path, whether their beliefs are correct or their beliefs are corrupted. They would sit with everyone. And this is the way of the munafiqs. And this disease, this sickness is increasing amongst Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that after you realize, don't sit with oppressors. And who are the oppressors? Ulama Ikram have said that disbelievers, sinners, and those who have corrupt beliefs, those who are deviated from the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are part of that qawm, that nation of oppressors and zalimeen. So you should not sit with them. It's very dangerous for iman. And there are many people who have changed their beliefs and now they have adopted the corrupt beliefs and wrong beliefs because of the suhbat and the company of the bad people. So to sit with everyone is the way of hypocrites. A Muslim, a true Muslim, a sincere Muslim is always one-sided. He is one-faced. He has a one standard. He is not double-faced. He doesn't have double standard. And his friendship is also one-sided. He loves Allah. He loves his Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his love for everyone is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for the sake of his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore we learn a very vital and important point from this beautiful verse that we must always be one-sided, and that side is the side of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla and the side of his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we learn from this ayah kareema that to joke with people or to mock at people is an evil act. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, that a nation should not mock at another nation. That means they should respect each other. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was told by Bani Israel, that are you joking with us or are you playing with us? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam replied that may Allah save me from being ignorant ones. So this tells us that to joke and to mock is not the way and the path of educated people, the polite people, the civilized people. Now this is the way of ignorant people, that they mock, they joke. So this is not a good thing. But also keep in mind that humor and joking and mocking are two different things. In joking and mocking, normally you hurt someone, you criticize someone, you assassinate someone's character. And to be humored or to have some humor in your discussion, that is to make someone happy and to relieve some amount of stress. And that is allowed in Islam. And sometimes it is sunnah as well. As we learn that our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did use humor in his discussions sometimes. For example, an old lady came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, will the old ladies like me or the old people, I'm giving you the summary, will go to Jannat?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, only the young people will go to Jannat." She got very sad and started crying. She felt, well, I'm not going to Jannat. Then Rasulullah ﷺ told her that every person who will enter into Jannat will be young. Mean they all will become young. So you will go to Jannat, but as a young lady, not as an old lady. So there was humor. And then there was a person who came and he asked, "Ya Rasulullah, I need a camel. Please give me a camel, so the camel can carry my loads." Rasulullah ﷺ told someone, "Give him a baby of a camel." So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, how the baby would help me? Because I need to load and I need a grown-up camel." So Rasulullah ﷺ said that every camel is a baby of another camel or some camel. So then he understood, and that was humor. So we learn something very important, that mocking and joking is not allowed, but humor is allowed in Islam. But also keep in mind, even in the case of humor, the discussion must not be based on a lie. It must not be an untruthful discussion. It must be based on the truth and on honesty. And also, be not allowed to start the joking or mocking at someone. Yes, if someone mocks at you or plays with you, with your feelings, you are allowed to answer back. That's choice, that's your right. But it is the sunnah of Sahaba Ikram that when a Muslim would hurt their feelings or mock at them or joke with them, they will forgive. But if a kafir, if a disbeliever mocks at them, jokes with them, they would not forgive. Like Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a naat reciter in the court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to write poetry. And many a times, he would mock at the kuffar as an answer to their mocking at Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get happy and give him du'as. As we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave du'a to Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahumma ayyidhu bi ruhil qudus. O Allah azza wa jal, help Hassan with Jibrail alayhi salam. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, we learn a very important principle from this Madani flower. That for your personal reasons, for personal sakes, or when someone hurts your feelings, you have the right to forgive. But when someone insults Deen, when someone insults Quran, when someone insults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you and me have no right to forgive. Because this is not our right. This is the right of Sharia. This is the right of religion. This is the right of Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some people, they feel that when there is a person who insults Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who insults our religion, who insults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who insults Sharia, we say, no, leave him. You know, it's a, people are free to say, it's a time of freedom of expression, it's the age of freedom of opinion, it's the age of freedom of writings, etc., etc. But believe me, everything has to be regulated. Freedom of expression and freedom of writings and freedom of opinion, whatever you may call it, if it's not regulated, then it is a big mischief and disorder in the world. Therefore, as a Muslims, we do not have the right to forgive those who insult the religion of Allah and His Rasul. Yes, if someone hurts me, I have the right to forgive him. If someone hurts you, you have the right to forgive him. Then there's a question. The question is that when you carry a tale of someone and tell someone, that's called chughli and ghibat, backbiting. In this ayah kareema, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Muslims about the munafiqeen, there's ghibat, there's chughli. Does that suit to Almighty Allah azza wa jal? That's a question. There are several answers to this question. One is that what is prohibited for us, it does not mean that that is prohibited for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the law, but those laws are not implemented upon Him. Allah is our creator. We are His slaves. So He can call us the way He wants. He can remember us the way He wants. He can praise us or He can criticize us. Nobody can question Him. Let's take an example. If we kill someone, we are criminals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives death to people day and night. Can we blame him? Can we say anything bad about him? Nauzubillah, can we regard him as a criminal? No, we cannot. So the rules are different for us and are different for Almighty Allah azza wa jal. And secondly, ghibat, or tale bearing, is an evil exercise when you are using it against a believer. But when you use it against a non-believer, then this is not an evil exercise. For example, till today, we talk about Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Iblis. We don't praise them. We criticize them. We tell everyone how bad they were. So would that be called a ghibat? No, it cannot be called a ghibat, because there is need. And those people don't deserve to be respected in any way, because they are disobedient to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and His prophets and the books. And the second answer is that ghibat and chughli, tale-bearing or backbiting, is bad when it is done with the intention of animosity or creating mischief. But if it is done to save someone from harm or evil, or if the reform is intended, then ghibat and chughli, then these type of things are not bad. For example, in this ayah karima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizing munafiqs to safeguard Muslims from their evils, from their harms. And also it is meant that when they are criticized, they might reform themselves. They might have the chance, after knowing that their bad doings have been exposed, they might repent and become sincere Muslims. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Sufia Ikram, they say that this dunya and the akhirat, the hereafter, they are co-wives. They are sokans or sultans, like co-wives. They cannot be together, as two wives cannot be together in one house. Therefore, the munafiqs, they thought that we'll have Islam on the tongue and we'll have kufr in the heart, and that was not possible. Therefore, they got exposed and they were humiliated and they lost respect. So similarly, a Muslim, a true Muslim, should have one thing in the heart, deen or dunya. Because deen and dunya are co-wives. For example, they can't see eye to eye. They can't be together. So as you can't keep two wives in one house, you cannot have dunya and deen in one heart. So you have to leave one and take one out of the heart, or divorce one and keep one. So if you are keeping dunya in the heart, the deen will not come. And if you're keeping deen in the heart, the dunya will not come. So if we really want the success of the akhirah, then we should follow the teachings of Sufiya Ikram and use dunya just for our needs, and do not give way to dunya to go into our hearts. Like a duck, a wild duck, when it is in the water, it floats like fish. When it is flying, it flies like a bird. So this is the example of a real man, that when he is in the marketplace, he is with his social activities, dealing with his family, friends, wife, children, he's in the dunya. When he's in the masjid, he is the leader of Muslims. He is committed Muslim. He serves the deen of Islam. And then you would see that he has got nothing to do with the dunya. So dunya is not in his heart. What is in his heart is the deen, is the religion. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that standard of living in this dunya, so we may have deen in our heart and do our matters of dunya to fulfill our needs and leave this world as a successful, true and sincere believer and a Muslim. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah.
Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, staring success, staring.